WMFO Medford.
WMFO in Medford.
91.5 FM WMFO.
On 91.5 WMFO Medford.
Tufts Freeform Radio.
All be on that velvet cage until that here we will make with our strength, rain, singing ways.
And you're listening to What's Happening here on WMFO in Medford. I am Mike.
I am Aaron.
I'm Lisa.
Welcome, Lisa.
Thanks.
Thank you for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
We will be giving the interview for Lisa. Lisa will play some new stuff, and we'll get a little background on Lisa.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, Lisa.
My name is Lisa Bastoni, and I moved to Boston after graduating from college many years ago and made my living playing in the subway for a few years before quitting music completely for 10 years, and just came back within the past couple of years with a new album, and I've been playing a lot around town lately, and it's just been fun to get back into it. And I can play a song for you if you'd like.
Cool.
Are you ready for that? All right. This is a song called Rabbit Hole.
Last night I heard the humming of the moon behind the trees. Felt the warmth of California riding on the breeze, and I thought of you. For the first time in what felt like centuries. And I don't even have your number now, but even if I did, though I knew it by heart, back when we were kids, if I had any feelings left for you, I'd keep them hid, 'cause I moved on and on. Rabbit hole again. And were we singing in the streets somewhere in Spain? Were we laughing in the hotel shower, running out of change? If that was really you and me, I don't know, I couldn't say. And don't you think that's strange? And the last time at the airport, you had your dark sunglasses on. I flew home to my mother's house, and I wrote you a song. And then I picked myself up, caught a bus back to Boston, and I moved on and on and on. And there'll be no walk down memory lane. There'll be no midnight call for old time's sake, and I am not slipping down that rabbit hole again. And if by chance you cross my mind, well, it's only by mistake. It's like that old jean jacket they you lost in the lake. We couldn't see it at the bottom. We might assume that it's still there. Either way, I'm sure by now you got yourself a new coat to wear. But oh, how I loved you with an unprotected heart, and how you blew it wide open when you busted it apart. That was the best thing that you did. I can see that now. All I know is I moved on, although I don't remember how. And there'll be no walk down memory lane. There'll be no midnight call for old time's sake. And I am not slipping down that rabbit hole.
That was fantastic.
Thank you.
Was that a therapeutic song?
It sure was. Yeah. It came out of nowhere. Just like, I was walking with my kids and like the breeze blew by us and I was like, oh, that experience, I need to write about that.
It took you back to a certain place in time.
Yeah.
I know your finger picking style. How did you teach yourself that? Or?
You know, my grandmother was my first guitar teacher.
Yeah.
And she, for some reason, she never really learned how to strum the guitar. She always finger picked, and so I pretty much learned it from her.
Your last name, is that French or is that Italian?
It's Italian.
Yeah. Well, we're pleased to have you here today.
Oh, I'm happy to be here.
So, you said your grandmother was your first teacher.
Yeah.
Was she your real influence into music growing up?
She really was. So my parents split up when I was very young, and I spent so much time with my grandparents, just absorbing their world. I was really, really lucky to have them. They were artists by trade. They were graphic designers. And when my grandmother was in her 40s, she picked up the guitar for the first time. She learned how to play, and she got into sort of the local folk scene in Connecticut, which you'd picture it as not really much of a scene, but there was a group of really great players around, and she would have them over to the house, and there would be these music parties. And so I was lucky enough to grow up around that, people like sitting in circles and singing songs together. And also in the many afternoons that I spent with her, we would listen to her records, and it was all Emmylou Harris, Bob Dylan, Joni Mitchell was another one. We listened to a lot of Joni Mitchell. And so that was my sort of music education. And actually, that brings me to maybe another song that I could play. After my grandmother died a couple years ago, I inherited her guitar.
Oh.
And along with her guitar, I inherited her bag of songs. And when she would learn songs, she would write out all the words with little chord diagrams to go with it. And so it's like hundreds of songs. It's this amazing collection. And so I've been working my way through to learn all the songs she learned how to play. And in going through this notebook, I found songs that she started to write herself. And for whatever reason, she never finished them. But I'm finding in these lyrics things that sort of resonate with me. So I'm like picking up where she left off and kind of finishing her.
She did that on purpose. Because she helped you start along the way. So she left you a legacy of you finishing it off, the songs, and then carrying it on to your kids. That's what's going to happen. So it's like building a house or a life.
Yeah.
You just build on top of the other. So that's what I think. That's my interpretation of what your grandmother did for you.
I think maybe, and we'll see. So I get a sense that there was some period of her life where she felt like maybe a restlessness, or she was I don't know, just letting herself kind of drift into this world of music, and I think there's something really beautiful about that. So this is, you know, maybe just a couple of phrases from her notes interwoven with some little half-written songs that I had, and I've never played this before, so this is a debut of a song called Pockets Full of Sighs. Sunrise, sunset, I got a feeling of something good that hasn't happened yet. A little bird flapping in my chest, been there for days, never seems to rest. I am a long way from home. I got pockets full of sighs and silent moans. I don't need a souvenir, I can picture it so clear. Doesn't even have to be real, I just wanna miss you when I go. Part of the flame, I get a fever every time I hear your name. A little light flickering in my brain, and I think, what's the harm in dreaming? I am a long way from home. I got pockets full of sighs and silent moans. I don't a souvenir, I can picture it so clear. Doesn't even have to be real, I just wanna miss you when I go. I don't know why I came all the way down here. We can dance around these edges, keep it inside the lines I drew. I don't even know your favorite color, but I'm gonna guess that it's blue. I am a long way from home. I got pockets full of sighs and silent moans. I don't need a souvenir, I can picture it so clear. Doesn't even have to be real, I just wanna miss you when I go. Thanks. I wonder if anybody's watching. Oh, hi everybody watching. I've never done Facebook Live before.
How many people are
I think we've got two people watching right now.
But watch, the key to it is it's not how many people are watching at the time, it's the views that are seen after. We've had
Flight of Fire,
and they had 2,500 views. So,
all right. Yeah. And Amy Fairchild had a lot.
Absolutely.
Too.
Oh, yeah, she had about
1,200.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Nice.
Yeah. It's,
we're not putting pressure on you to break the record.
All right.
Yeah. The record is 1 million. No. Very beautiful.
Thanks.
And I think your grandmother would be happy with that song.
I hope so.
And thank you for debuting it here.
Absolutely.
Oh, sure.
Thank you.
Yes.
And how old are your kids?
They are 3 and 5.
Perfect age to start teaching them.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, my daughter, my son really likes to play drums. He just likes to bang on things.
Well, most boys
but,
do.
but he'll come around too. But my daughter is, she's a sensitive, quiet, deep thinking girl, and I'm really proud of her. She's got her own songwriting notebook now that she just started, and she'll dictate songs to me. They're all about bunnies mostly and airplanes.
Bunnies are good.
I feel like she's on a good path. So
it sounds like it. And when they ask you to teach them a guitar, I don't think you'll hesitate.
Well, we have a ukulele that's just the right size for her.
Well, that's still perfect. We had Hanakanen last week, and she played the ukulele.
Yeah.
It was a lot easier than carrying a guitar or keyboard around.
Yes.
And listened back to it during the week, and came out great.
Good.
You know, there's a question that Aaron usually asks, and he says, you know, you'd like to play something on the show you haven't played before. Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's a song that somebody else did, I'm just out of curiosity, you don't have to play it, that you said, I wish I wrote that.
Oh, man, there are so many. I mean, A Case of You is the first one that comes to mind.
I'm a big Joni fan. Yeah.
But, man, so many. I'm a big Bob Dylan fan, and there are just so many that I wish I'd written. But, man, for as far as covers, it's so tough. Like, from playing in the subway, there are so many that...
What's the most requested one in the subway?
Gosh, like... You know, You're Gonna Make Me Lonesome When You Go is one that I played a lot down there, but Boots of Spanish Leather is another one that I really love. So I'd say it's a toss-up between those two.
Is there a song that we'd be surprised that you liked? That's not in the genre you...
That's a great question.
Because you grew up listening to your grandparents, but what did you listen to when you weren't listening to their music?
So, I mean... I don't know that I could play any of the songs right now. I'm not prepared to do this, but like the Bangles and Cyndi Lauper. I mean, a child of the 80s, I listened to that stuff.
Yeah.
And I also, this is so weird, but I loved musicals growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Like The Music Man and Cats and like Into the Woods and God, all those.
Maybe you can combine those with like the Ramones or something.
I should. But the Beatles,
Cats meet Dylan.
I mean, my mom is like, she'll listen to the same tape. We had obviously like cassette tapes in the car, and she would listen to like the Beatles' Greatest Hits until the tape wore out, and you'd hear like both sides at the same time.
Let It Be on the Yellow Submarine.
Yeah. Like one of them would be backwards, and
has the backwards part influenced any of your songs?
Yes.
No, maybe early on. Yeah.
I want a Grammy. No, sorry. it's a nice way to change it around, right?
Did you ever think of forteing into children's songs?
You know, I did, and that was one of the things that got me back into music. I fully quit. Like, I did not touch my guitar for a good 8 or 9 years. And then when my daughter, I'd be taking her to, like, Mommy and Me, like, baby playgroups, I noticed, like, every once in a while there'd be a musician who'd come in, and I thought, I think I might want to do that. So we'd go to these playgroups, and sometimes I'd bring my guitar and play, like, Old MacDonald and Twinkle Twinkle. And it was fun, but it wasn't quite, like, doing
rewarding.
It for me. It was, like, not quite as satisfying as I'd hoped it would be. And there are people who, like... I really think that's noble and beautiful, like people who go to play music for kids and babies. It's a wonderful thing, but it wasn't quite my thing. And so I started getting the guitar out like after the kids would go to bed, and that's when it was like, oh, this is something I need to do for me, and I want to sing my old songs again. And then it was like, well, I don't want to play these old songs because that's not really where I am now. And then it became like, I'm going to write some new songs and get back into it.
So that was your inspiration to get back in. What have you noticed a change in the last 10 years since you were out there performing before?
Well, it's a whole new world. Like, I feel like, is it Rumpelstiltskin? No. Rip Van Winkle, who sleeps for 20 years and wakes up and everything's different. Like, CDs were definitely on the way out when I quit, but now they're just done. Like, it's a whole new thing. And so I feel like live music is where musicians are making their living now, and you have to be on the road. And so that's been challenging because, like, I want to do this professionally again, but, you know, how do I combine that with my responsibilities as a parent? And so that's been, I mean, it's doable. People do all kinds of jobs and have kids. So
just book your gigs around the kids' vacations.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of them.
So, I mean, it's been interesting to come back to it.
I think of carnivals.
Yeah, carnivals.
Yeah, my son's my makeup artist.
Yes.
Yeah, he'll be over there playing, you know, for the bad comedians, you know,
right.
on the drums. And
so the social media thing is new and different. Having to wear so many different hats, I guess that's always kind of been the way, but, you know, having a social media presence, figuring out what the next thing is, where you have to be, like, you know,
well, I
putting
think
your creative energy in things that are not just songwriting and singing.
I think that you probably realize that basically the whole industry is basically kind of gone away.
Yep.
It's only focused on a couple artists, and now it's a do-it-yourself,
mm-hmm.
but there's more control. You have more control of what happens. You're not, you know, to get into a club, you're not need to talk to a manager and then get to the gig 50 miles away and find out, you know, you're being bumped to another day mm-hmm. or something. So it is harder, but then I think you know what the outcome is going to be. Yeah. You can see your rewards.
Yeah. It's super rewarding, too, and it's also not just the clubs. It's really grassroots, like, in living rooms. Like, people are having their own pop-up concert series in their homes.
Yeah,
and
porch parties and everything else, yeah.
It's really, it's great. As confusing and hard as it can be, it's also really a beautiful thing.
I mean, I've spoken to many artists over the last few years that I've been in the business, and many of them are saying, take control of yeah. what you're doing. Don't let somebody else run what you do, and you'll make it.
Mm-hmm.
If you do it the other way, they're the ones who are making it, and you know they can say at any time, and that's not really what you want.
Yeah.
And you have control of your music. I mean, they did pass that law a few years ago. After so many years, you get your music back.
Mm.
I'm a big fan of Genya Raven. I'm not sure if you know her. She was in 10-Wheel Drive, and she's solo. She had the music and the movie The Warriors back in the 80s. She's now still fighting, even though she's supposed to get her music back now. And I know of other artists, local artists, that just even to look at their tape, it cost them $10,000.
Wow.
So, you know, the people that own these things are putting up all these walls so you don't have access to it, just in case they can sell a song or something. Wow. So you have control of that now, and that's going to be a good thing.
Look what happened. How long did it take Paul McCartney to get the Beatles back?
He got it back, right?
He did get it back. But, you know, it's just, you know, Michael Jackson gets it, and then it takes him, what's it taking him, almost 50 years to get the music back?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time to be playing your own music, but somebody else owns you.
Once the corporate hooks get into it, it's very, very hard.
Well, it's also like adjusting goals, like for where I am in my life. Like, it would be amazing if I could have like 10 cities that I could just do like that route and have like 20 people show up. That would be amazing. I would love that.
Let's see.
So I think I'm working my way towards that, I think.
Well, even just doing the Northeast.
Yeah.
You know, you've got, you know, say Bangor, Burlington, Nashua, you know, New York City, upper state New York, Newport, Boston, Philly, and if I missed something, Hartford, and you know, so this way you're, and plus it's good if you do it on a time that the kids are on vacation, they get to go with you and see, so.
Yeah.
You know, we've had a few artists have toured out to the West Coast here, a lot of the female artists, and you could probably tap into them and say, hey, this show here on Sunday said you were on. How did that, where did you play? Yeah. So, yeah, this, and I know there's a lot of help and, and brotherhood or sisterhood.
Yeah, it's a nice community.
It is.
It is. Yeah. Would you like to read a PSA for us?
Sure.
The choice is yours.
Is I'm getting a big note.
She's getting the
public service announcement.
Here comes the drum roll.
Okay.
Anyone you would like.
All right. This is a giant notebook. Can you see that? All right.
It's got big pictures for us old people.
Oh, should I go like towards the back or the
anywhere you want?
Anything you like.
Anything
long
you'd like.
Or short
as
you like.
Oh, it's themed.
Oh, yes.
Yes, you may pick anyone you want.
So as she's doing that, Aaron, what was happening up in WMWM today?
Today I did a compilation of everything.
And the traffic was?
The traffic getting here back was insane, but I did blues, jazz, rock.
I think you had one of the student body on.
I did. I actually had the president of the student government on.
Oh, that's good.
Because they were having haunted happenings at Salem State University.
Yeah. I hear they're kicking around some, there's some rumors going around that they might redo the student center.
They're not rumors it's going to happen.
Yeah. What happens to WM in that interim?
They're going to have to move us. Where are they going to move us to?
They're going to put you in your car.
they're going to put us in the observatory, which is across the campus.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to be in a place that's visual.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the first one.
Okay.
I was going to go for a deep cut, but this one is nice and short.
This is WMFO 91.5 FM in Medford. This is What's Happening on Mike.
I'm Aaron.
This is my attempt at voiceover work.
All right,
let's see how I do. Do I have to read the title too?
Yes, you do.
Okay. Autumn Outdoor Exercise PSA. Autumn, this is my reading to my kids' voice too. Autumn brings some of the most beautiful days of the year to New England. If you haven't been getting all the exercise you should, now is the perfect time to get outside and walk, run, or ride a bike. Use your feet to go places instead of your car. Enjoy the fall colors, breathe the fresh air, reduce stress, and improve your health. A public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Community Radio.
Excellent. Yay. Important part.
It's like getting called on in like a class in school, like, all right, it's your turn to read.
But the difference is it was your choice, which is a little bit different. And so with the combination of your grandmother, the Bangles, and Cyndi Lauper, and your move into music and then back out and then back in, besides your kids, what's been the best part? Because I think that's the top, and there can't you can't go higher than that.
The best part of life?
For you with music.
With music? It's really just feels good to be part of the conversation again. I feel like it's just...
like you were meant to be.
Well, like, I think about like people who influence me and people who have influenced those people. Like, it's just a big it's a gigantic community, and it just feels good to be like back in the pool, I guess, of like I'm writing songs, I'm sharing them with people, you know, whatever the level it is. It's just nice to find my voice again in a way.
That's the key. Yeah. You found your voice again.
Yeah.
Well, but it was your own choice to step back.
It was, because I saw, like, I was doing, I had a couple of CDs that I made, like, in friends' living rooms, just, like, independent. I was playing the subway. I was playing good shows around town, too. And I was even doing little tours around the country. And it was... It was great. It was fun. It was a wonderful adventure, and I don't regret it at all. But I got to a point in my life where I thought, you know, maybe there's more. Maybe there's something to be learned from just staying in one place for a while and committing to a different sort of path for a while. And that's been wonderful. And then, you know, life has changed, and I realized that wasn't everything either. And now I'm trying to find a happy balance between the domestic life and more of a professional life.
So when you write, how do you write?
I keep a notebook. I sometimes even jot down lines on my phone. And then either in the morning when the kids are at school or at night after they've gone to bed, I kind of go back through and see what comes to me. And sometimes it's like, you know, I have the melody and the lyrics at the same time, and it just kind of spills out all at once. And other times I find it through different writing exercises and different things I kind of cobble together like that. Yeah. Oh, and now I have this notebook from my grandmother, and I can usually just skim through that and find something that jumps out at me and run with that.
Well, you know, got bits and pieces. So,
yeah.
You know, you never know which parts of each song can go together.
Yeah. And it's just kind of keeping my ears on throughout the day for something that might become a song.
Do the best songs write themselves?
Yeah. I think so.
Has there been one song that has, or one composition you were working on for a very long time that just for some reason you couldn't get it together, and then is there also one that just came together like that?
There's one song from the album that I'll play next, maybe, that came out of a writing exercise. I have a somewhat sporadic writing group with a group of songwriters in the area, and I think you've probably had Danielle Moralia on the show.
She's going to be up probably within the month.
Oh, awesome. Well,
She's been here before.
Yeah, back years ago, we'd have like a weekly writing group, and we had this rule where you had to bring a song, and we've gotten a little bit more relaxed about that lately, but so we'll get together, and we'll talk about some things we've been working on, and sometimes we do songwriting exercises, and there's a book by Linda Barry, I think it's called What It Is, that has really helped me a lot, and she takes you through, like, it's more for writers of prose, I guess, or fiction, but it applies to any kind of writing process, where you write a list of, you start with a word, a random word, and I think our word was weed, and then you make a list of 10 things that you associate with that word, and then you choose one that's the most vivid to you, and you, like, write this whole, like, I won't bore you with all the details, but it's this long, like, process. It takes, like, an hour to get through. So I ended up with this long story, and then it was like, all right, how do I turn this long story, this narrative, into a song that's under 4 minutes? So it's, like, 3.5 minutes long. So that was the process, and it took me several days of, like, paring down and trimming away all the fat, and like maybe adding some details that didn't really happen to make it more a compelling story, and like little by little it's like chipping away to arrive at the song, and so this one I feel like is I think it's effective. Mm-hmm. I'll play it for you guys.
I wonder if you've done the other type of exercises where you take somebody's song and you take all the chords And instead of doing them forward, you do them backwards.
Oh, I haven't done that.
And then you write a song over that, or watching a segment of a movie that really moves you, mm-hmm. and write a little song to that, like you were doing
these
the
are
soundtrack.
Good. I'm going to try these.
I won't charge
like
you for that.
I like to challenge myself.
Yeah, you turn off the volume and just play, you know, like the old silent movies.
That's right.
That's a really good idea.
Hey, they say I have a face for radio and a voice for silent movies.
Nice. So there was a guy in my hometown who worked at the pizza shop, and he played blues guitar, and every Wednesday night he'd play a show at the deli next door to the pizza shop, and of course I had a crush on him, and then so that's what this song is based on, but like I said, there are some elements of fiction anyway.
They are shining on the sidewalks of suburbia. You got cash in your front pocket and a bag on the dash. Silver lighter lying on the vinyl seat. As you roll yourself a cigarette, I say I've never been on this street. How'd you ever learn to play the blues in this town? For me as the sun is going down. How'd you ever learn in this town? Down by the river, there's a place where we can go in. You can play me Robert Johnson. Tell me everything you know. And I know you've got a girlfriend. I know she's prettier than me. This is nothing but a lesson in music history, and Gibson flat top, right there in your back seat. How'd you ever learn to play the blues in this town? How'd you ever learn to play the blues in this town? Well, your hands are reaching for me as the sun. Pretend that you don't know me. I will try to remember what you showed me. Right now, I've got a head that's full of doubts, and you're driving me home with my dress on inside out.
Like I said, is there one that just came to you like that?
Let me think. Oh, you know, the one that I wrote for my grandmother, there's one that I wrote right after our last visit together, that it just, you know, I went to visit her, and I pulled into the driveway, and I had this feeling like, this is our last, this is gonna be it. And it was just, it was like, such a, like, all my senses were so raw at the time. Like, everything was hitting me, like the sound of my car wheels on the driveway, the feeling of walking through her house, like everything I was seeing and smelling, and like the flower, like there was a smell of roses in the air. It was like there was something about the light. It was sunset, and it was just this really, like, you know, those moments where just like your hair is like on it, like you have goosebumps just from the way something hits you. And that one, it was just like on the way home, it just kind of spilled out. And so I can play that one if you'd like. Looking out the window, I was always waiting, and you gave me what I needed, and it carried me away. Goodbye, it's a blessing and a curse, to leave is easy. It's the staying that hurts. Turn on the lights as I'm walking through sweet memories. In every room, the house is dark.
blessing and a curse. To leave is easy. It's the sting that hurts. The record spins. The needle's in the air. You're on a white bed. Pink carnation in your hair. The love you gave. If I could give it back to you 10 times over, that it might carry you. A blessing and a curse. To leave is easy. It's the sting that hurts. It's the staying that hurts.
Thanks. I got all emotional during that one. I'm sorry. It's like the lamest thing. Like, you make yourself cry while singing.
But it was an important song to you.
And I was just there this morning. I went home to visit my mom. And I always, like, my grandmother's house was, like, around the block from my mom's house. And I, like, every time I'm like, don't go there, Lisa. Don't go there. You know it's going to make you cry if you go there. And, like, I can't help myself from, like, just driving by one last time. It's just, I feel like it's better to feel the thing than to not feel it. So.
No, it's not good to suppress.
Yeah.
So. This is WMFO. This is 91.5 FM in Medford. This is What's Happening with Mike.
Aaron.
And Lisa.
And Lisa.
Yes. Also, I want to remember that every Sunday we remind people there's an open mic at the Tavern at the End of the World run by Natalie Flanagan. And that goes, the activities go there from break 4 to 10 o'clock at night. So if you have a chance, go down there. It's an excellent place, excellent food, excellent people. Thank you.
Nice.
Let everybody know where they can find you.
Oh, yes. Well, I have a website, lisabastoni.com, but this coming Thursday night, I'll be playing at the Burren in Davis Square at 7 p.m., and I think that there are still tickets available.
Is that the Backroom series?
It's the Backroom series.
With Tom Bianchi?
With Tom Bianchi, and yeah. It's going to be also broadcast on another radio station. Am I allowed to say it?
Go ahead.
On WUMB. So if you can't make it in person, I'll be there.
And then that's the UMass Boston yes. campus station, which does a lot of folk and roots music yep. and blues.
That's right.
And everything we've heard so far has been...
Thanks.
So when you're famous, will you remember?
So it's going to be with the whole band, too. So it's going to, you know, there's going to be more than just me with my guitar. So
and I want to thank Mike from turning me your way.
Oh, man. Mike Newman was the first DJ to play. The WMFO was the first station to play the new album. So I'm very grateful
for that. That was such a boost.
I hadn't been in a radio station in, like, 10 years yeah. at that time, and I forget how that even happened to begin with, but like that was the first time I'd played those songs in front of anybody. So that was really
well.
Nice.
We're here, we're real, and we're not robots.
Yeah.
Yet.
Thank you for being here. The station is great.
Well, thank you for being here.
It's my pleasure.
So, on your new album, what is your favorite song?
I think Rabbit Hole. That was the first song that I played tonight. I think that was that turned out to be my favorite one.
Okay, I got a different one for you.
Yeah.
What's your kid's favorite song that you do?
Oh.
Of your, you know, I mean, they probably like the other ones too, but.
Well, there's two that mention my daughter, and those are her favorites because I sing the line that's about her, and she'll say, "That's me, right?" So there's one, sort of a newer one. It's sort of impossible to avoid politics right now. I feel like just in the general climate of things. I was watching the news one night, and I think it was last February, And it was the night that Elizabeth Warren was speaking. What was it? There have been so many things that have happened. It's like a flood of like information. I forget.
Exactly.
It was the night of She Persisted. So she was reading the letter from Coretta Scott King. Was that the Sessions nomination? I forget. I should know this better. But anyway, I wrote a song about Elizabeth Warren and what she did that night. And it's called She Persisted. And I'd love to play it for you. So I wrote this little song, and I put it up on Facebook, and within a few days, it had been viewed 10,000 times and shared hundreds of times, and it just really caught me by surprise. I was not expecting that reaction. And, you know, months went by, and I kind of forgot about it. I didn't really play the song out, but just about a month ago, I got an email from a choir director saying, "I've been invited to perform for Elizabeth Warren. I found your song. Would you like to sing it with us for her?" So we got to play it for her, and it was like the most surreal thing, because we played this song for her. So this is She Persisted, and I'll never forget just looking out and seeing her watching. She was clapping. It was insane. Anyway, so this is She Persisted. I'm going to do the original version as I wrote it originally because I don't have the choir with me today. I have to do it differently. I'll drop D here. I can remember it. Well, she's a rebel with a cause. From the state of Massachusetts, she held the floor. She had a letter from the wife of Dr. King, and she was bold. They said, "Lizzie, take a seat," and she was warned, but she persisted. And it was close to midnight in the land of the free, and I saw a revolution unfolding on TV. She stood outside, where everyone could see as the cameras rolled. She persisted. Oh, Coretta said, "Freedom is never really won. You gotta win it in every generation." Upstairs to where my daughter lay sleeping, with a million hearts and rainbows on the wall beside her bed. And I lay down just to whisper in her ear the story of a woman who persisted. Well, she's a rebel with a cause from the state of Massachusetts. She held the floor, she had a letter from the wife of Dr. King, and she was bold. She did not sit down, she was warned, and she persisted. Oh, she was warned, and she persisted. Thanks.
You know what that reminds me of? There was a gentleman from Massachusetts about 240 years ago named John Adams.
Is he still around?
Well, his cousin is.
I've been hearing great
Samuel.
Things about him.
But the thing is that it's similar because he wanted us to be a free nation. Mm. And he wouldn't sit down. And he persisted.
Mm-hmm.
So it shouldn't take another 240 years before someone stands up for what we need.
Yes. Agreed. And I think it's happening. Lots of people are standing up in ways that they never have before.
You know the best way people can stand up, though? They stand up, get out of their chair, get out of their house, and go and support local music.
Yes.
That's the best way because you're showing that others mean something mm-hmm. to you.
Yeah.
And you get to share your point of view, your music. They get to be there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the best way to do it.
Yep.
You know, because, you know, you can have sporting events, but then there's rivals. When it comes to music, you don't have rivals.
Mm-hmm.
You have supportive people.
And it's just to have the shared experience in person with people. I mean, it's like I spend a lot of time, like even though with my kids, like we're always on our phones. Like it's hard to make plans sometimes. And like you just get sucked into this like virtual reality. But when you get out into the world, it's reassuring in a way. Like here we are. We're, you know, we're all in this together.
And do you have one more song to send us out?
Sure. Let me look through my list. There's sort of a fun one that I wrote, sort of pulling, this is a new one. This is another one I haven't played out before. Let's try it.
Another world debut.
Another world debut. This is, so part of my, this, what I'm finding in my grandmother's papers are these little mysteries. Like, I feel like she had this, like maybe even a little crush on somebody that was like, and she and my grandfather were really in love with each other and they had a great relationship, but I don't know. Sometimes I...
So what is the song called?
So it's called Hidden in the Song, and it's, I think it's a lot of musicians can probably relate to the feeling of like having a crush on somebody but not wanting to tell them, so you like play them a song that has like meaning for them, or even if you like make a mixtape or a playlist for somebody.
Yeah,
it's
kind of
that. It's that story. So it's less her story and more just like what I imagine, or you know, what we've all done when we make a mixtape or something. Anyway, Hidden in the Song. Did you wake up to the sunrise? Dew drops in the meadow. Crocuses in one hand, in the other, purple heather. Did you tell her that you loved her as the night turned into day? Or did you send a message in every note that you played? Simple words, deeper meaning. Hidden in the song, hidden in the song, in the song that you were singing. Yeah. At the party in the backyard, you were soaking up the stars. Did you stand so close together? Did you stand apart? Did you ever talk about it? Did you find the words to say? Staring down the well of loneliness, did you look away? Simple words, deeper meaning. Hidden in the song that you were singing.